Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. This is going to be more of a niche topic, but it is one that is very close to my heart because this has been something that I first thought about a little over a decade ago and have been slowly trying to get to the right spot to make this happen. And basically, over the last couple of years, I met the right people who could help me make this happen, which was a huge success for me because as of yesterday, and then with some legislation that was signed a week before that, we are able to get PAs more involved in EMS in Missouri. But this podcast isn't just about how it plays a role in Missouri. It's also about how it can be used in other states. And why that is so important is because PAs can play a major role. The last time we talked about this was all the way back with podcast number 48, about a little over 3 years ago, and it was with Kevin Burns. And I interviewed Kevin Burns because of some progress that he made, specifically with CAMHS. And CAMHS is the Commission of Accreditation of Medical Transport Systems, essentially the flight EMS side of pre-hospital medicine. And what happened was that somewhere along the way, basically, PAs kind of got left out of the whole flight side. And since they weren't specifically mentioned, PAs just dropped off the map. And PAs weren't specifically listed as being able to be used in a flight setting. So what that meant was that now we were stuck and unable to participate in that role with anyone who's CAMHS certified. Well, fortunately, Kevin Burns and others took the appropriate steps needed to get PAs back in the air. And why this matters is because of what all PAs can do. Now, physicians have really never had an issue, and nurse practitioners have been able to make some ground with this as well. But PAs kind of fell behind, just like we do with a lot of different legislation. But fortunately, with some changes, we're able to get back into CAMHS, and we're in the 11th edition of their accreditation standards as accepted clinical crew. And there were a few different organizations, including AAPA, who made an announcement on this. We made an announcement at the time as well. That was part of the interview with Kevin Burns. And we talked about the different roles of PAs and EMS. And basically, there are kind of like three different roles that we should consider. One is more the medical direction and medical control side. So this is where we help our EMS brethren as far as the support roles and being able to give direction, guidance, and actually medical control if needed for paramedics, EMTs, and so on to be able to provide care in the field. Then there's two other more clinical roles. One is that really you're taking care of the like low acuity patients. And there are already a few systems out there that are using this pretty broadly, where essentially like a nurse practitioner or a PA or physicians in some locations go out to the field and would essentially treat and street someone right there on scene versus having that person be transported to the emergency department to have the same thing, which eats up more resources and time. The one that I think is, you know, basically a little more sexy, a little more fun, is the acute care side. And so PAs being naturally able to do more than what most paramedics in the world can do, just like physicians and nurse practitioners oftentimes have more leeway as far as what they can do, we could provide more advanced care in the field as needed. That's in the scope of practice, of course, but can help provide further care, further advanced and expertise level care for patients who are critically ill or injured. And those are essentially the three main roles. So medical direction, low acuity, and then high acuity. What happened for Missouri is after a couple of years of work, specifically trying to get some legislation passed, given not all of the legislation that I'd like to see passed, but probably the biggest and most fundamental one to get in the right direction, two different bills were signed that affect PA practice in Missouri this year. And the first one was House Bill 2046, which was signed by Governor Mike Parson on July 6, 2020, and then House Bill 1682 being signed on July 13th, which was yesterday. And both of the texts are essentially the same. I've linked them in the show notes, so that way you can actually read it for yourself. But essentially, they both say the same thing. What does it actually say? Well, both bills contain language that allow PAs to staff ambulances without the need for a specific EMT license. Additionally, when treating patients on an ambulance, PAs are exempt from any mileage limitations in any collaborative agreement prescribed under law. And to further dive into what that actually means is a couple of different things. One is that PAs are now part of the ambulance crew. So you no longer have to have like an EMT and paramedic or some variation of EMS crew that wouldn't involve a PA, and the PA would have to be the third wheel, which also makes a big difference with regards to billing and how that all functions. So this was a major step in the right direction because now you can have a PA as part of a staffed ambulance when before it was not possible. Additionally, this also means that PAs don't have to have some other licensure. And what was happening before was that PAs, specifically pre-hospital, now given if it's an extension of the hospital, it's a little bit of a different story, but this helps clarify it. So it's nice, clean language to help explain this more thoroughly. But essentially, before you would have to have like a paramedic license or an EMT license and essentially be able to practice at that level and not beyond it. So while there were things that you know or could do as a PA, you might not be able to do it as an EMT or paramedic. This helps clarify that and helps it be, again, a little more clean legislation. So that way it's more clear cut. Yes, PAs can do their level of care. Now notice you'll still have to have some form of a collaborative agreement, but there's no mileage restrictions. And why is that important? Well, think about this. If you know the mileage restriction was 50 miles and yeah, your base is at 48 miles out or something, you're still in your zone for the actual base. But if you go 2 miles further away or more, now you're at the edge of your agreement or past that mileage agreement and you're stuck. So now this allows for a PA anywhere to be able to go anywhere where needed to treat these patients. A huge improvement on what needed to happen to take care of patients effectively as a PA. And again, why this is all important is because of what we can do now as PAs in the field in Missouri. Missouri is not the only state that's doing this. There are other states that have similar laws and in some cases already better laws because they allow more clearly for medical direction, medical control. That's something that's going to have to be worked on in the future. But this is a huge step in the right direction because now PAs in Missouri can better take care of patients, not only in hospital settings like we're able to do or in clinical settings in the like clinic outpatient side, but now in the pre-hospital arena, it's more clear cut what PAs can do. And now PAs can do more with fewer restrictions, which is what is needed because while yes, it may potentially be best to have a physician in the field everywhere, especially in the part of Missouri I'm living in, the rural part of Missouri, there is no way an EMS district is going to be able to afford to pay for that. And so instead, they can use PAs to now help fill that role where they can take care of these specific patients in these patient populations that are very vulnerable to bad outcomes, whether that's because they are not being able to get treated to the level of care that could be used, given how sick or injured they are, or they can now also be treated in the field, avoid an hour plus transport time to the closest hospital, only to be seen and need treatment for a few minutes and then go back home, and also have to figure out how do you physically get back home when you're an hour away from it. So all these different things can help us in so many ways that I am very excited by this. And I, like I said, I think we need some more ground to gain where we have a better outline of what medical control looks like for PAs to be able to give that in Missouri. But this was a vital step in the right direction. And I was so happy to see that not one, but two bills with this language passed this year. I would be really curious to see those who are listening. I want to hear back from you. Have you seen the same things in your state? Do you know if there's any legislation? A couple of years ago when we were talking about this at first, the idea was that hopefully we'd be able to get feedback from different states and know, okay, where is the legislation at in this state? Where is the legislation at in that state? Is there even any legislation that's present? That way we could figure out what the national picture is so we could better dive into the individual components. And this would be something that I know I have students who listen. So if you are looking for a project, whether you're a med student, a PA student, an NP student, or you're working on your doctorate or whatever, I think this would be a great piece of research is where do EMS laws lie for PAs, NPs, physicians, any one of those, any combination of them. I think we need to know this because we need to be able to better understand what legislation is out there so that way people can do like I did for my state and help push that legislation along so we can make the appropriate changes. Again, I thank you so much for bearing with me with the short podcast to be able to very proudly say something I am excited to have been able to be a part of and to help push this through. And I only hope that we can expand on this even more. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.